Let's head over to the Zoom line where we have the executive coach for the Real Life Rockstars, Mr. Joe Sinnott, who also is the host of the Energy Detox podcast, but day job at Winning Partners, where he is the executive coach for the Real Life Rockstars. And Joe, I was having a conversation the other day with a few people, and I thought this would be a fun podcast title since it's the month of February and Valentine's Day is just right around the corner. Is what if this podcast today was just powered by love? What are some of those areas that we could insert love into people's lives or their lifestyles that maybe can help them get an extra little perk around the office, around their life, around the house? At ESG University, we started tracking layoffs. Holy Hannah, there has been layoffs since the beginning of the year. And we're talking about percentage of companies' employees layoffs. We're not talking about Bob that shows up every day for work or Jason who spends too much time in the bathroom. No, we're talking about like how I threw myself under the bus there, Joe. It's about the love today. How you doing?
It's a lovely day here in Pittsburgh. Not as lovely as the last couple of days where it felt like spring, but so besides a little bit of confusion on what season we're actually in, it is all good here in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Now, I don't want to give away any secret of my sauce, but generally I do not like to do timely type of questions with my interviews because I tend to like to have interviews that can transcend time, that can really transcend borders, that we try to connect on things that are universal with the average person. And right now, Joe, you are in a state with one of the most universal topics going on across the world, and that is the Super Bowl. You're in Pennsylvania. You're a stone's throw from, well, a pretty far stone's throw from Philadelphia. I mean, you're over that mountain throw of Philadelphia. You're on the gorgeous side of Pittsburgh.
I mean, it's pretty much just one road, Jason. I mean, it's just hop on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and next thing you know, you're in Philly. So I guess, by that respect.
I've driven it. And you probably don't know this, but I've done a half a dozen magazines in Pittsburgh. I did one in Washington, which is, I believe, just southeast of you. Is that right?
That is correct. Just a bit down the road.
We did one in Easton, Pennsylvania as well. We did one up in the Wilkes-Barre country as well. I think that's Matt Dillon's old stomping grounds. And also State College, PA, when LeVar Arrington was finishing up school. So I got to watch LeVar Arrington come back when he was a Washington Redskin and play some skin and shirts ball over there at Happy Valley. And boy, I tell you what, Penn State, people can talk about what they want about the football and basketball and everything else. That is a gorgeous campus. That is like one of my favorite campuses in the entire United States. All the trees and just that nice valley. But what's going on with the Super Bowl talk? What's happening in your state? What's going on? We might as well get an update as long as we're there, right?
Sure. Well, I don't know if I can represent the chatter that's going on the eastern side of the state in Philadelphia, but here in Pittsburgh, at least, you know, there's actually some attention on the Pirates, believe it or not. So typically this time of year, you know, people are still coming off of a successful Steelers season, which was not necessarily the case, and looking ahead to next Steelers season. But in terms of sports, Jason, the Pirates are actually bringing back Andrew McCutchen, who was homegrown talent, homegrown in terms of coming up through their system, at least. I think he's actually from Florida. But he is aging, but they decided to bring him back. Again, depends who you ask. Actually, it doesn't depend who you ask. I think everybody says it's more for gimmick reasons. But so it's interesting to see some chatter about the Pirates, not because anybody expects them to actually be competitive or win more than 60 games this year, but mainly because they're bringing back a, you know, former all-star and certainly a fan favorite to try to juice some interest in the team. So I know I shifted quickly away from football, but again, we're 300 miles away from Philadelphia. So
hey, you're talking about where the love is coming from in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, apparently there's not enough brotherly love to make it all the way to Philadelphia. Wow, wow. And that's okay. And we can't afford sound effects quite at this show, so we make our own up. But that's the kind of fun we have here. No, the whole idea about this podcast powered by love actually came from a electric vehicle owner because they were finding out some of the realities about these electric vehicles. Sometimes they take a little longer to charge than most. And of course, the Kevin Bacon ad came on, and that's what sparks the conversation. And a comment was made that maybe we should just make a vehicle that's powered by love. And I thought, boy, that's a pretty good line. I'm going to use that going forward. So here we are today, Joe. What kind of world can you power by love today? I brought the EV vehicle. If we can just all get along, maybe our cars will power themselves. What do you think about that?
I think that any appearance on the Crew Life is magical, and we never know where we're going to go. So powered by love. I mean, I guess you said a couple minutes ago that you strive for more universal and timeless topics. I suppose there's nothing more universal and timeless than the topic of love in terms of its ability to power anything. Well, I mean, I guess you could argue that there are people out there who think that their electric vehicles are powered by magic, and it's magic when they turn on their light switch and don't know the realities of things. So I guess kind of shifting back to our normal strain of conversation about leadership, it is a question of actually understanding the facts. So, you know, even love, as vague as it can be and as soft and fluffy as it could be, you know, at the end of the day, there are still very real rules that determine how love works and how sustainable love is, and whether it's actually going to be able to fuel a relationship for any period of time, or whether it's just, you know, some fleeting passion or some feelings. And obviously, when it comes to energy and the things that actually power our lives, there's a lot of feelings out there. There's a lot of emotion. But again, at the end of the day, a lot of them are fleeting. So with that, Jason, I don't even know if I answered your question. I don't even know what your question was. But there's my attempt to connect the worlds of energy and love and some of that figurative fuel that keeps people going, whether they're leaders or corporations or whatever the case is.
Figurative fuel. I like that a lot. Figurative fuel, because one of the things that I was just thinking about is, you know, when you're working for an organization, you know, if you have a very good organization, a lot of times people stay there. So what you could say is that if you have an organization that really does convey a message of love, I would imagine you'd probably have a place that people would love to work at, right? Well, in your personal life, this is a true story. This was a conversation we had around the new year with a couple people that were going through a divorce. They were getting divorced because Billy Joel sings, the money got tight and we just didn't count on the tears, from Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Great song. It's three different songs in one, actually. It's like a meatloaf song. Every meatloaf song, you get three for one in every song. You know, it's just great. You get three different melodies. Billy Joel did that with Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Anyway, point is that we were talking about this divorce and with some people, and I made the unfortunate comment of sticking my foot in my mouth like I normally do. And I just said to my buddy, I said, hey, I remember when the two of you got together 7 years ago, you said it made sense financially. You said that you moved in together because you wanted to share bills. You said that you got married because it made financial sense. And now, since the money got tight and you just didn't count on the tears, now you're getting a divorce. You see how that makes sense? So if you can have a relationship that is figuratively fueled by love, then a lot of these fights that Billy Joel talks about and sings about just don't happen, Mr. Joe Sinnott. I see where that can work at work and in your home life, but what do you think of that?
Well, I guess a couple of things. From starting on the work side, yes, you know, companies might talk about love, maybe not use that word. Certainly companies talk about having familial atmospheres and such, but you know, that can be dangerous. And, you know, you see chatter out there. I think Colin McClelland of Digital Wildcatters fame, he had a post a week or so ago, basically warning against companies that talk about, you know, we are a family. And again, you could argue one way or the other. But one thing I think is absolutely clear is that you need to be aware of situations where people are talking about unconditional love, because unconditional love, again, is great in a true family, but it could be disastrous and certainly unsustainable in the corporate world. Yet a lot of managers, a lot of leaders, they get to the point unconsciously where they are in this unconditional love situation where they're not seeing, whether they are choosing to not see or they're just completely unaware of the things that are toxic, that are hurting their odds of success, that are damaging their company. And, you know, when they refuse to see those things and when they refuse to see those problems out of whatever you want to call it, love or something, again, more difficult to define, it's disastrous. So coming back to the world that I live in and that I work in, it all comes down to being conscious of, one, the threats to a sustained relationship, if you will, and two, being very intentional about why you have this relationship in the first place. So to your story there, if your relationship is founded upon a financial agreement and then things inevitably change, well, it shouldn't be a surprise if, you know, that relationship doesn't exist anymore. And
spoiler
alert, though,
people don't like when you say it. It's a spoiler alert. When you bring that up, they don't like it. It doesn't go over well.
Well, I mean, in the world that I live in now, you know, in this coaching world, you know, a lot of people don't like what I share. You know, again, I'm not sharing my opinions. I'm sharing my observations. I'm sharing what I see. I'm sharing the facts. I'm sharing what I hear. And again, that could be difficult at times. But people
might think, you know, that, oh, we're getting a little personal with people's lives because we're talking about their marriage and this and that. But no, actually, it's the same thing about a job. A lot of people, they're with their job because of the financial arrangement. That's the whole reason. Whether they love their job or not is a whole different conversation. But when you're agreeing with yourself that I'm going to wake up next to somebody every day, or I'm going to go and go to this place every single day, you're making an agreement with yourself and with someone else, and you should love it. And the comment about unconditional love, here's what I like to tell people whenever that word comes up, because that is a word that was starting to get thrown around way too much for what it is. I mean, unconditional love, there's very few people who actually can do that. But one who did is Forrest Gump. When you're ready to let the love of your life leave and go and screw up in the world and come back and use you and leave and come back and use you and come back and use you, and in the end stay with you, because that's what Forrest did. Forrest Gump provided unconditional love for Jenny so she could go out and screw up in the world, but she always had her Forrest Gump pad to go back, recharge, get that love, that unconditional love that Forrest knew how to give. And so that's the example I like to give for unconditional love. So we went a little bit off the rail there, but I wanted to just add that in. So go ahead, Joe, take over from there.
Yeah, well, I mean, even on, you know, the Forrest Gump situation, or, you know, and again, any marriage or relationship, is it a choice? That's what it comes down to. You know, it was Forrest Gump making the choice to stick with Jenny no matter what? And, you know, as a husband or a wife, again, are you making that choice to love your spouse no matter what? And as an employee, are you making the choice, the conscious choice, to stay at that company, or do you feel stuck? You know, are you just going through the motions and you don't actually know why you're there? Because again, that's not sustainable. If you're making that conscious decision to be at that company for a whole host of reasons, and you're honest with yourself, that's a very different situation than just kind of going through the motions and showing up and, yeah, pays the bills, whatever. You know, that's, you don't want, if you're the company, you don't want a bunch of people who are not actively choosing to be there each and every day, or who feel stuck in a relationship. So again, I think it comes down to making a choice and being conscious about it, which again is the crux of what I do. So whether it's on the personal side or the professional side, it's about being intentional with your time, with your energy, with your money in some cases, choosing to do something and do it the right way, choosing to love someone no matter what. And again, when people aren't even aware that they're making that choice, or they're just sliding back and forth unconsciously, that's when they're setting themselves up for failure. So, you know, to your point, again, are we talking about people's personal lives here? Well, yes and no, but it's all the same stuff, Jason. It's about being intentional and conscious about what your ultimate purpose is. And heck, I'll throw another thing in there. You know, hey, we're talking about personal lives, we're talking about love. You can even bring in a religious or a theological element to this. Because one definition of love, one definition of marriage that I heard several years ago was, as a spouse, your job is to help get your spouse and the rest of your family, if you have kids, to heaven. And again, regardless of, you know, where people are at, where your audience is at in terms of that, think about that for a moment. You have an ultimate mission, and everything you're doing each and every day, regardless of your feelings, is to help move that other party closer to some ultimate destination in that, you know, situation or that description, that being heaven. Think about that now, bringing it back to your personal lives or your professional lives. Is every action you're taking consciously moving you towards some ultimate destination? That's powerful. That's a relationship. That is more than just feelings. That's consciousness. And again, in a marriage especially, if you don't have that level of commitment and awareness and intentionality, you're setting yourself up for disaster. And it's not much different when we're talking about professional lives and careers.
Bring up a great point about sustainable love, if you will, because, you know, it sustainable love is unconditional love, very difficult to achieve, very difficult, even for married people, very difficult. That's why divorce is over 50%. So when we take a look at how love is blind, whether it's idol worshiping your position, you know, your job, which a lot of times people love their job. But again, when the finances aren't there, or maybe they're not getting the vacation time, or maybe the somewhat related to, you know, is the finance stuff isn't working out, they don't love their job anymore. And on the flip side, maybe there's some managers where love is blind, because they might love this employee, but really they only like what the employee does for them. They don't really care about the employee or the company. They just like that the employee gives them time so they can have a 4-hour lunch. That's why they love the employee. So there's different ways that people can love their job too. So talk to me a little bit about love is blind, because a lot of times people throw around that word and they really don't understand what it means to themselves.
Yeah. Again, it comes back to the same theme of being conscious and being aware, being witting. Again, we'll throw a nod to my company name, right? It's being a witting, conscious partner to, in the case you just mentioned, an employee. And part of that level of consciousness is being on the same page. If that relationship is purely transactional and it's, hey, I employ you and I pay you and you make my life easier and I compensate you, you know, commensurate with that, you know, level of value that you bring to the company and to myself, then fine, at least we get it out there. We're not beating around the bush and pretending like there's more to that relationship. But if you're not open and transparent and whatever cliched word you want to use there about the dynamic of that relationship, whether it leans more towards transactional or whether it leans more towards, you know, something deeper, this, you know, again, like the deeper relationship that should be between a husband and a wife. If you can't put words to that and you can't speak to what type of relationship we have, then, I mean, that's a level of blindness that's going to lead all parties in, you know, some unfavorable direction, Jason. So again, it's this, not to, to beat a dead horse here, but it all comes down to just being conscious and aware of what the relationship is and what it's supposed to look like and what its ultimate purpose is. What is the purpose of a contractual relationship between employer and employee? And what's the purpose of a relationship between spouses?
Excuse me here. I swallowed a coffee there for a second. Sometimes this hot coffee gets a little hot and I hiccup.
Oh, hot and heavy yeah. Episode of the Crude Life here in the middle of February. There we go.
Right. All right. So let's talk about the love of your job and just the love of your family and why you do things, because a lot of people, they either love their job or they love their family and that's why they go to work. But some people, they go to work because they're afraid of what happens if they don't pay their bills. So maybe their intention isn't so much love as it is fear. How can we get people to change their perspective so that when they wake up in the morning, they're not really feeling fearful to start their day, but they're actually embracing some of these joyful things that the day can bring? Does that make sense, Joe?
It does. I mean, it brings up a couple, I guess, maybe follow-up questions I have for you in terms of what you mean there. But
yeah.
You know, the first thing is, you know, does it really matter if people are going to work passionate and joyful about what they're doing?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, so again, and again, I think you can argue back and forth. I would say no matter what, the first step is to be honest about the realities of things, you know, not going and pretending like you're doing what you're doing when you don't really do it, or vice versa, right? You know, pretending like this is drudgery when, you know what, you actually enjoy your 45 minute commute and the time by yourself, and you actually enjoy that coffee break. You actually enjoy interacting with people, but for whatever reason, you're afraid to admit it because, you know, you've set this story for whoever else, maybe your spouse. Oh yeah, I'm going to work, you know, working for you, working for the family. Oh, another tough day where I actually only put in about, you know, 45 minutes of actual work, and the other, you know, 6 or 7 hours was actually just alone time or BS time or whatever. So again, it comes down to first being honest with yourself about, like, do I really hate this or do I really like this, Jason? And then you can talk about practical ways and tips and tricks to maybe enhance your enjoyment. But the first step is, hey, have you created this darn story one way or the other that is unnecessary? Whether, again, it's I'm passionate about my job or I'm not passionate. Stop using those words if they don't actually mean anything. And let's get back to the facts of what you really do truly enjoy and what you don't enjoy, and quit this narrative. So I'll stop there. I don't know if I addressed any of your questions
because, there. Well, because sometimes for me, I find myself when I was, you know, supporting my family and doing everything like that, it's pretty easy to get caught up in the love of the chase. You know, you're chasing the money, you're chasing the goal, you're chasing the goal, you know, whatever it might be. And so it can actually take priority over, you know, your family at times, because in your mind, you're thinking, you know, if I just get this taken care of, well, then the family will be fine. And, you know, to me, that's more of, you know, the kind of the, not to get theological, but the money changers talking, if you will. You're trying to get your bills paid so that you can spend time with your family. So to me, that's where I personally, where I struggled, was trying to get the family always ahead of paying the bills, if you will. And again, I bring this up because just the amount of layoffs that are happening right now and the amount of people going through an energy transition. So these money conversations are very, they're increasing quite a bit. And so one of the reasons for the Love podcast is to remember, why are you doing this? Are you doing this for the money? Are you doing this for the love? If you're doing it for the love, it could be for the love of your job, your trade, your family, yourself, a number of different things. But if you invoke some love, install some love, embed some love into whatever it is you're doing, generally you're not in a bad mood, are you? Normally that term is supposed to mean put a smile on your face, right?
Normally, but let me jump in there, Jason. I mean, even there, I mean, there's general rules that make sense, again, most of the time, but especially if there's people listening who have just gotten laid off, let me share a story that I shared. Oh gosh, this was about a year ago in a talk that I gave, and it was actually during the Q&A section. People were asking, well, you know, practically speaking, you know, how do you slow down and make decisions when you feel like you're under pressure? And of course, you know, the first answer is, well, coaching helps, right? I mean, when I'm coaching people, it makes them pause. You know, it might be just for an hour out of a very busy week, but they actually need to slow down and think more clearly so that they don't just default to the standard rules. And the reason I'm bringing this up in terms of all these layoffs you keep talking about is that, you know, if say you had a nice steady job and you were able to afford a nanny that helped you go to work so that, you know, your kids were taken care of, you know, that nanny was a big expense, and then you lose your job, and then, you know, your immediate thought is, well, we can't afford this anymore, I gotta go look for a job, let's you know, slim everything down. Again, there's logic to that, right? Hey, you know, the income is stopping, so we need to obviously pause or look very closely at the money that's going out the door. That's a logical thought. However, when you slow down and you say, well, what if we actually increase the amount of support for our children? You know, maybe not just a nanny, but we'll actually have some extra babysitting time so that I can focus on hitting the reset button and finding a new job during this period of time. Again, instead of now scrambling and making, you know, short-sighted panic decisions that might make sense, but might be hurting the long-term, you know, sustainable goals that you have. That's the type of thinking where if you can slow down and avoid just going to, you know, these default rules, you might start thinking differently and then almost go the opposite direction. But a lot of people, Jason, and this is human nature, myself included, right? It's, hey, we're going to go. We're going to make a quick decision. We're going to move forward. And all else being equal, we're just going to go with the default approach to things. And, you know, odds are we'll be just fine. But from a coaching standpoint, being just fine or good enough, clearly that is not, you know, that's not my goal when I'm working with people. When people hire me, when companies hire me, obviously that's not their goal. It's to actually be more thoughtful and more conscious and more aware so that you make more sustainable and more inventive and innovative and whatever words we want to throw in there, decisions that are, you know, going to last. They're going to stick.
How about if you love what you do so much that you get shamed where you go? So let's say you work in the oil and gas industry and you walk into a room and boy, you're the new modern day leper. You're the new cigarette. I mean, you're the person just smoking a cigarette and putting the ashes out on a baby right in the room. I've been in that room, by the way. People have actually, I'm serious. I've actually had people get up and leave because I said that, you know, I do the crude life, for example. So it's a real thing. How do people stay with it, Joe? Talk to me about, you know, keeping the love for yourself, keeping the love for your brotherhood, your sisterhood, your comrades that, you know, hey, I want to have some natural gas in my life. I want to, you know, I want to be able to power my home when I at some point, but it's hard because there's a lot of people not giving me the love. You know, it's like what the farmers went through in the 80s when the grocery store took them out. Everybody loved going to the grocery store and making fun of the farmer. Well, that doesn't make any sense, but it happened. And look where we're at with the farmers. There's hardly any farmers left now. They're all corporate farmers and robot farmers now. They even got robot chickens, I think I saw. No, that was a Futurama episode. See, I get my shows mixed up at times. But talk to me about how to keep the love going when you're not getting it. When you're getting disrespected, Eric, back to the Super Bowl. When you're AJ Brown and you're getting disrespected by the Titans, show me how to get some respect.
Well, if you're looking for respect and you're looking to keep the love going, as you just said, the worst thing you could do is default to the same stale talking points that everybody else is throwing out there. That is definitely the worst thing you can do because people hear it. You know, people are sick of it. You know, people have short attention spans. Oh, I heard that talking point, you know, last week. You got to find something new. So the answer, Jason, at least in my experience, and whether it's in my personal life or again, now in this coaching world, is preparation. You can prepare yourself before you even engage with these people who might be, you know, again, casting you aside or inclined to walk the other direction. You can take 2 minutes to just go through, you know, stream of consciousness, some questions that other people might ask, you know, what might resonate in a response that you could give to them or, you know, little tidbits that you could share with them that, again, go beyond the normal talking points. And, you know, obviously working in oil and gas, we have our talking points and they're great. They're foundational. Everybody should know them, but people should be sharing them in a way that is, you know, more directed at a specific audience. You know, people, for example, Jason, you know, not to get on my soapbox here, but in oil and gas, it's very easy to talk about the economic benefits, the job benefits of what we do. And those are absolutely real. But for a lot of audiences, you know, they don't care. They're going to tune out immediately because, you know, they don't care. They're going to have their own talking points to say, well, industries evolve, right? You know, if we didn't allow, you know, if we tried to protect the horse and buggy, right? You know, that we would have never evolved just to protect those jobs. You know, you need to understand when that audience is going to have that in their head. And from what I see, again, this is more of a macro thing. A lot of people, they don't recognize that there's different audiences. And this is obviously communication 101, but it takes an ounce of energy and a couple minutes of time to prepare. And again, if we really want to bring it back to the love connection, if you will, to this episode, yeah, it's the same thing. If you're coming home to your spouse and, you know, there's something you want to share, do you just put it out of your mind until you show up? Or do you, no, on the drive home, say, oh, no, No, I completely forgot about Valentine's Day. How am I going to frame this? You're going to prepare, right? Why wouldn't you take that same preparation approach when it comes to those around you that, don't want to listen to what you have to say? How can you get them to listen? So maybe a long-winded answer there, Jason, but, it's preparation. It's slowing down. It's the same thing we've talked about, earlier in this episode and on, other conversations.
No, I love it. I love it all. Absolutely love it.
How many times can we use the word love today, Jason?
Oh, isn't that great? Just a podcast powered by love. I'm telling you, if I could invent an EV car that's powered by love, I don't think there'll be an issue in the world again. I think everything will get taken care of. So that gentleman that I had that conversation with at that random place, boy, if we could have bottled that up and sold it, we'd be loved by many right now.
Well, for now, for a little while, Jason, as you know, though, all great innovations ultimately will have their naysayers eventually. So I think, again, that's another mistake that people make from a sustainability standpoint. They think that they've got it. They've got this magic answer, only to be found that even if you found a car that was made entirely of love, by love, and fueled with love, somehow, some way, you'd get people out there with their pitchforks and their, their torches ready to run you out of town. So just a warning for you. Again, in the world that I'm in, as much exuberance as people might have, they think they have a breakthrough. Part of my job is to, say, oh, that's great, but let's build in a little insulation, a little insurance, because it might not be as grand of an idea and approach as you think it is. So
no, and a lot of things are cyclical, and a lot of the, ain't nothing new under the sun, if you will. But at the same time, our lives are still our lives, and we still have to wake up, and we still have to be productive, and we have to be stewards of whatever we're stewards of, whether it's the land or whether it's God or whether it's our family or it's what do Wiccans, the trees, the God of the trees. I can't think of the Wiccan God off the top of my head. I try to include everybody's, and sometimes I don't, and I apologize for those people who are left out. Kwanzaa, for example, anyone who's Kwanzaa. And then I kind of lose track where I'm going with this, Joe.
There's a lot of holidays, Jason. This week we celebrated National Pizza Day.
There's a lot of religions too. So, we try to keep the love out there as much as we can. And when you don't offer enough love out there, people get mad, because you don't give enough love. And so it's a weird time we're living in, Joe. It really is. But I do love this idea where we can take a concept and say, hey, listen, let's get more ridiculous than the ridiculous of hate. There's so much polarizing profiting right now, profit, wordplay there, use it twice. There's so much of that going on that what if we just say, what if we powered it by love? We'd make more money. It came out of the ESG movement. What if we just powered this by love? Would we all be okay? And then, of course, that people get upset at that. When you're not angry, they get upset. So, with that, Joe, I know you love feedback. So, what type of feedback would you love to hear from people on something like this?
Well, I think the first thing, Jason, going back to what you just said, it's easy to laugh at, what if we focused on love instead of hate and being angry? And, again, a good portion of the population is going to set that aside. But I think the bigger question that I would ask people, and again, I'd be curious their feedback on this, how much energy and time are you investing, if you will, in hate or negativity?
And that was a three-pointer right there, buddy. Yeah. You just switched a three-pointer.
Well, then I'll stop talking there, because that's it. That's the question. I mean, again, we talk a lot here. I mean, the ironic thing is, Jason, in my day job as a coach, my job is to actually, shut up and listen and ask questions and then listen some more. So I love these conversations. This gives me a chance to, hop up on my soapbox a little bit. But coming back to my day job of asking questions, that's the question. Sit with that for a couple minutes. 168 hours in the week. How many hours, and it probably is hours, are spent on things that don't actually add any value? And then the next question, again, we're facts here. We've moved beyond love and feelings. The facts are, if you invested that energy and that time on something positive,
I'll tell you what.
What value you gain? Yeah.
I'll talk about something that I did that I think other people could do and save their job. Right now, there is a huge movement happening on social media. Where are you spending your time? And if individuals shifted their time on social media, and that's what I did. So I took X amount of hours. I want to say it was it 30 minutes a day or 45 minutes a day? It was one of the two because I needed 15 minutes or 30 minutes to do the thing that I did. So as you know, Joe, I work in the media. So we have a certain amount of hours that we spend on social media, a certain amount of hours we spend creating content, certain amount of hours we have to spend doing like sales and just administrative work type of a thing. And when we looked at our pie chart, social media is always the one that has to get taken from first because it doesn't generate any money. And it's where we produce the most of our time without return. Because sales, you can get return called sales. Administration, you can get a return, which is keeping the IRS out and keeping the government out and fines. And you can actually organize your business a little bit. So there's a return there. When you look at social media, and honestly, if you don't make it in the moment, now it's just branding. So if you don't monetize that social media post in the moment, essentially what you're doing is branding for your company or yourself. So businesses are starting to say, why is the person I'm paying to be in charge of social media crippling their followers because I'm paying for them to go to all these events and my company now only has 4 posts in the last 2 months. Why are they not posting on my company? So what I advised the company to do was say, well, just have your employee post on the social media through the company and have them share it on their personal. And the guy goes, well, that makes sense. I said, well, that's how you're supposed to do it. That's how it was designed originally, just about shifting your energy. Well, then the conversation with me was, okay, can you take the half hour out of your day and do what you love to do? Well, I love to write. So if you go to the Crude Life right now, you'll see that we're doing a lot more writing now. If you go to some of the other sites that I do, I'm doing a lot more writing now because for me, I can write an article over lunch really easy because I've interviewed experts for 30 years. So it's not difficult for me to recall things and remember and et cetera. So what I did, Joe, I shifted a half hour away from social media and directed it to a different media, which is writing. So therefore, my companies can create more of a social media presence at the end of the day. Instead of me giving the content and my energy to LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, I'm giving the energy to myself first, and then I'm going to turn around and give my energy to the social media platforms, but only 25% of my energy is going to go there with 100% of my product. Does that make sense?
It all makes sense. And it all ties back to what you said at the outset of that comment, which was essentially time management and this focus on where are you investing your time. And that is one of the major themes that comes across in all the coaching that I do. And in fact, Jason, the idea of time management and where are you investing your time and is it structured in the right way? The order of operations, right? Kind of to your point, you know, do you get your energy first and then you're able to share that versus trying to do the grunt work while you're unenergized and, you know, being out of whack? All of those questions, whether it's prioritization, order of operations, where you're bucketing your time, that's huge, not just for an individual who is, you know, going through coaching because their company sponsored it, but for that same individual in his or her personal life. You know, one of the, again, most of the coaching I do is under the corporate umbrella. You know, it's people who are employed. Many of them are being sponsored by their company to, you know, to gain value from coaching that helps them as an individual employee, but also helps the bottom line of the company. But I'll tell you, Jason, one of the things that really impacts the personal lives of the people that I work with is when we sit down and we talk about time management and structuring an ideal week and determining when makes the most sense to focus on your wife or your husband or your children. and finding the optimal time for that instead of just trying to squeeze it in. Because if not, it could become like social media. Oh, I'll do a little bit here, a little bit there. Oh, I got this great idea. Let me pop over here. Oh, maybe this person can do that. And it becomes this unconscious hodgepodge of things instead of being intentional and saying, no, I am at my best on Thursday afternoons. And when I'm at my best, I want to be with my family. So I'm going to block that time. Is it going to happen every Thursday? Absolutely not. But at least I'm going to try. I'm going to be intentional about it. And that's exactly what I think you were just sharing in terms of a social media strategy. And that's why, Jason, the things that I work on with people, they have very practical application, especially in the energy industry, but they also apply to people's personal lives. And it's the same approach. It's the same mindsets. It's the same tools. And again, if nothing else, it helps strengthen relationships, which is a lot of what we're talking about here. You know, those bonds, whether it's love or whether it is something more transactional, the moral of the story is if you want to strengthen your connections, strengthen those relationships, you need to be intentional and you need to be smart with your time and your energy.
Now, I know we're going into overtime here because it's the big Super Bowl edition of the Love Podcast. I'm sorry, it's the Super Bowl edition podcast powered by love. I got to wordsmith that a little bit. I love it either way. Okay. So where does your energy go first? I'm paraphrasing what you said. Where does your energy go first? That is a really important thing for every company to ask themselves right now, whether you're an employee, but mostly if you're a business owner or you're a decision maker. Let's take that social media example, Joe, that I gave for a second. And this could go any way you want to go in any department. Where does your energy go first? Okay. So if you're the Department of Transportation or you're the company that sells widgets and you got that social media manager that we talked about for an example. Now, if your energy or your money is going to that person, so they can go out to networking events and they're only posting on their personal, where does your energy go first? If you are paying someone to go market and brand your company and they are continuously doing it on their personal and not your company or your government page, where does your energy go first? In fact, I would even ask, how much energy are you getting in return? That is one of the biggest issues going on right now. And it's really hard for the average person to understand. For one, they've never worked in the media. And number two, it's just not fun when you got to change. So right now, a lot of workplaces are making changes. I even know some places, Joe, they're outlawing social media now. I talked to one guy the other day, he called me and he said, we're outlawing it now. We're not even gonna have it anymore because he did an audit and found out how much time people are spending on their personal versus their work stuff. So that was my example. I wrote down, where does your energy go first? I think you got a book there. That's a book right there because that's ESG. That is ESG in a nutshell right there. What is the supply chain of your energy? Take a look at it. And how does it come back? And this isn't like trying to be a bitter or trying to get mad or anything. This is just trying to be professional with the supply chain because, Joe, I don't think that the Energy Detox podcast has its own brand, does it? You do it all through Winning Partners, correct?
Correct. It's all under the umbrella. Yes. Obviously, it's its own entity on all the podcast platforms. It's got its own domain.
So that example, where does your energy go first? For you, your energy goes to the umbrella of Witting Partners first, correct?
Yes and no, Jason, unless you want to get more philosophical. I mean, my energy ultimately is going through Witting Partners. So I guess, yeah, it goes there first, but it's to the people, it's to my audience. I mean, at the end of the day, sure. Jason, you know, Winning Partners is not some 10,000 person organization. So, I mean, I'll be honest, people, they're not hiring me, you know, for Winning Partners. They're not hiring Winning Partners on paper. They are certainly from a contractual standpoint, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm doing the coaching. They're hiring me for my experience, for my insights, for the results that I've generated. And so for that reason, my energy, I would say, really doesn't go to Winning Partners. And when I have an opportunity to connect to an individual first, you know, somebody who I already have a relationship with, or, you know, somebody who I know needs the type of services that I offer, that's where I turn to first. Now, again, whether I use Witting Partners as an avenue to expand that connection or relationship, yeah, that's a different story. But in terms of where my energy goes, Jason, it's focused on the end user, the audience, the person who's going to benefit from me, not some intermediate step, which, again, I'll stay on my soapbox here for a moment. That's where a lot of companies get screwed up in their social media strategy, is they forget, as simple as it is, and you know, you've been in media for all these years, right? They forget who their audience is. So that's where your energy needs to go first. In terms of the avenue to get there, there's a million different ways to do that. And some of it, like you said, you know, if you have a passion for one approach to connect with that audience, fine, do what suits you best. You know, leverage the resources that you have at your disposal that enthuse you, but by all means, don't get stuck there, because a lot of people do. And, you know, their message, again, Super Bowl's coming up here, you know, from an advertising standpoint, you spend $1 million on an ad that, you know, people leave people scratching their heads and saying, what did I just watch? What's that for? You know, that's, you know, marketing 101, if you will. So audience is where my energy goes first. And then if it happens to flow through Witting Partners or the energy detox or conversation with you, Jason, so be it.
And yeah, thank you for making me look like a fool with the technicality of, yes, you're the independent contractor. You kind of like, yeah, everything goes through me. But I get your point. And actually, you bring up a good point, because sometimes there is that person that it just, they need to be the identity and not necessarily have the company become their identity. That's a case too. And that's actually one of my biggest things, because I've got 3 or 4 different companies I'm trying to juggle. So as I try to do one, I can't have the other one, you know, mix and match, because it pollutes the water, if you will. It gets too confusing for people, because there are a lot of people that like to just label, and they like to be very singular with certain things and check boxes and et cetera. But you bring up a really interesting point about that, Joe. You do, because there are some other variables that go into this. And at the end of the day, you know, where does your energy go? Where do you put it? Where do you put it first? And in the Super Bowl ad that you brought up, that was a great little sidebar there, because sometimes a lot of these Super Bowl ads now, you actually have to go and watch a Netflix series before you can even understand the ad. Like, if people had never seen Wayne's World before, imagine what that ad looked like to them. First of all, Garth, I love Mike Myers to death, but he looked really old and kind of creepy and scary for wearing that clothes and trying to present himself as a teenage boy. From what I remember back when Wayne's World first came out, great movie, Rob Lowe, fantastic. Okay. But 30 years, 40 years later, that didn't play well. But even worse, somebody made a ton of money to just basically give me a homework to go watch movies. There's a lot of this kind of rehashing of certain things, re-energy, where you grab energy from someone else and put it to you. And now you've given people homework. Now you got to go watch Lord of the Rings. Now you got to go watch Game of Thrones, which I've never seen. So anybody that does any advertising with those two things is completely lost on me. And that's what I see a lot of these Super Bowl ads now, Joe, is they're just kind of doing their own little micro movie of some show they liked as a kid or something like that. So anyway, that's my comment on the Super Bowl commercials. I don't know if that's, you want to comment on that? That's kind of a Against the Love podcast here.
Well, I mean, for all those corporations who love money, I'm assuming they're doing, you know, they're figuring out the rate of return on that. And if they're doing something that's only going to resonate with a handful of people, or that's going to require homework for everybody else to actually go and figure out what they're saying, and at the end of the day, if they figure that's still going to give them the return they want, then, you know, so be it. But in the real world, where we are communicating every single day as human beings, we need to be asking ourselves what the rate of return is on our words and our time, and more importantly, the time and the attention of our audience. And in a corporate environment, especially in the world of oil and gas, that's go, 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 the leader or the manager who's relying on analogies that don't hit, or things that they say that people don't understand, but they're afraid to, you know, ask questions about because it's go, 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 or they're going to feel stupid or whatever, which speaks in many ways to some of the generational gaps that I also help companies work through. They need to ask themselves, am I being clear? Rule number one for communication, am I being clear? And to your point, Jason, if the audience has to go and do homework or doesn't understand your reference to Seinfeld because, you know, they weren't even born until 10 years, you know, after Seinfeld went off the air, you're probably not being terribly efficient with your communication ability, even though there's one or two people in the room who are laughing hysterically and got your point 100% and are ready to barge out. Maybe that's good enough, but it's up to you as the communicator to determine whether it's good enough and not just unconsciously keep going to the same old well of analogies and whatever else to get your point across.
Well, as much as I loved this podcast, we should probably wrap it up. And I know that you like business and your family loves it when you're making the bacon, so to speak. So how can people get in touch with you and give yourself a few plugs, if you will, so that we can generate some business your way, sir?
Well, despite saying a couple minutes ago that, you know, Witting Partners is really just there as a pass-through, the easiest way is to go to wittingpartners.com if you want to connect and learn a little bit more about what I do and how I do it and the results that I've helped companies in the energy industry and beyond generate in terms of leadership development, coaching, training, workshops, keynotes, and all of that. So wittingpartners.com, but also always happy to connect on LinkedIn. Always happy to have a conversation. I'm even a fan of the good old fashioned phone call. So the number's out there. You can call 412-444-5563. Even in this age of texting and emails and all of those various ways to communicate, sometimes a nice, normal human conversation is the most efficient and effective. So all those means are fine. And as we said earlier, you can always find the Energy Detox. Go ahead and Google, or you can find it on any of your favorite podcasting platforms.
The supply chain of that promotion was the energy first came from Witting Partners. And then there was a website avenue, a phone call avenue, an email avenue, a social media avenue. There was all kinds of avenues for that energy to go to be channeled through. And in the end, it ends up back at Witting Partners for the return on that investment of energy. And that's how I look at it, Joe, in all honesty, is that that's how it goes. And that's how we've always taken the crude life. And we've been able to grow every year. Now, it's not 100% growth. It's that traditional 10, 15, 20%, but it's that slow and steady wins the race. And quite honestly, when you love what you do, that is a very successful career, just to have a slow and steady wins the race, because that means every day you wake up and you love what you do. You really do. And that sounds like what you do too, Joe. You really love what you do. So maybe you don't, but to me, it seems like you do.
It's all just a facade, Jace. That last hour that we just talked about, I actually have no passion for the energy industry or leadership or love or any of those things. But no, in all seriousness, whether you call it slow and steady or whether you call it in, you know, hedging your bets and locking in good prices that'll ensure a steady return for years to come, I think that's the key to healthy relationships. That's the key to a marriage. That's the key to, you know, ensuring that your love isn't just a flash in the pan, but something that is able to sustain. So again, for everybody listening, you're looking to sustain success, whether it's personal success or professional success, always happy to have a conversation like this one with Jason, and always happy to engage with anybody who's listening out there as part of your audience there, Jason. You got a great audience, a great show, and certainly appreciate you having me on again to have this lovely conversation today.
Beep. End artificial chat on Love Now.
Yes.
I just thought I'd throw that in there.
No, that was great. I was trying to find the hold on.
That's what I mean. I'll just
end it right. All right. Well, just make sure you end this. But if you forget to end this and people are still listening, again, this is the real Jason and Joe. Hopefully it sounds exactly as the same as the last hour or so that you subjected yourself to. So, okay, now I will officially end the recording.